Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakdak.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us as we continue our study of commentaries on the Quran. Please be advised that due to the subject content, some of today's materials may not be suitable for children. Today we'll begin chapter 10, which is titled Errors in the Quran. And we have in this chapter five topics. First, dropping verses from the Quran and adding verses to the Quran. Second, contradiction in the Quran. Third, in the Quran, historical error. Fourth, in the Quran, linguistic error. And finally, the style of the writing in the Quran. First, let us tackle the topic, dropping verses from the Quran and adding verses to the Quran. In the way they wrote the Quran or collected, there is plenty of evidence that many verses were dropped from the Quran. As we read in the hadith about Muhammad in the book, The Healing to the Judge Ayyad, and I quote, Allah's mercy and on so-and-so, he remind me with these verses and these verses which I have dropped, or it was also written, which I have forgotten. Notice here, these are the people who were collecting the Quran and they forgot or they dropped verses, and somebody came and reminded them of these verses. Imagine with me the chapters of the Quran which were written and no one reminded those who gathered or collected the Quran about the verses which they missed or dropped from the Quran. In Quran chapter 87, which is titled The Highest, verses 6 and 7, we read, Allah said, we will make you read, so do not forget, except for what Allah wills. Surely He knows what is proclaimed and what is hidden. Imagine with me, Allah in that chapter is speaking to Muhammad and He's telling him to read from the Quran. Read what? The verses of Allah. That is for Muhammad to recite the Quran from his memory. And then in the same passage, He is commanding Muhammad not to forget. Not to forget what? The verses of Allah in the Quran. But then he hears the word except. And when you read the word except, or the word unless, or the word if, or the word when, or the word but, these five words in the Quran, this should catch your attention. There's something wrong coming up. For here in verse 7, we read, except for what Allah wills. Which means it is in Allah's will for Muhammad to forget some of the verses of the Quran. Or Allah would not have said that to Muhammad at all. He would say to him, read the Quran, don't forget, make sure that every word is given there to be known, and you don't miss one word. No. Allah is telling Muhammad, he will read the Quran, and he will not forget the verses of the Quran, except the verses which Allah in his will cause Muhammad to forget it. Imagine me, Muhammad himself, the man who received the Quran from Angel Jibreel, as Muslims claim, he will forget verses from the Quran. Or how about the people who follow Muhammad after him? How about the people who will be believing in the Quran and reading the Quran not only a few years later, but over 1400 years later? For sure, there are plenty of verses from the Quran has been gone, has been forgotten, or simply was dropped, as we will see in the rest of our study. In the book of the introduction al-Shatibiyyah, we read that the companion of Muhammad deleted from the Quran verses. For example, the verse concerning the enjoyment. When we talk about enjoyment, that is when a man marry a woman for a limited time for the purpose of enjoying himself sexually. That is not marriage to have children or marriage for long term. It could be a marriage for 10, 15 minutes a day or two, or whatever. By the way, the Muslim Shiite today still practice this type of marriage in the Muslim world, including here in America, which is very well known in our life to be prostitution. It was said that Ali, the fourth successor after Muhammad, removed that verse from the Quran. We're not talking about Jibreel removed the verse from the Quran, or Muhammad removed the verse from the Quran, or Abu Bakr Siddiq, the first successor after Muhammad, removed the verse from the Quran, or Omar, the second successor, removed the verse from the Quran, or even Osman, the third successor, removed the verse from the Quran. We're talking about the fourth successor, that is Ali. And not only he dropped the verse from the Quran, which teaches it's okay for a man to marry a woman simply, temporary marriage for fun, prostitution, but he also used to beat those who would read or who would recite that verse. That's why Aisha spoke against him, insulted him by saying that he used to beat people and forbade people, and he changed the verses of the Quran, and he corrupted the verses of the Quran. Also, we read from son of Abi Ka'b verses from the Quran which do not exist today in the Quran. Like the saying, O Allah, we seek your guidance, we seek your help, and we seek your forgiveness, and we believe in you, and we depend on you. If you open the Quran today, you will not see these words or that verse anywhere in the Quran. But Ali removed it from the Quran. Also, there is a saying that there are verses in the Quran which were removed, and its judgment also is removed. Obviously, you know that there are three types of abrogation in the Quran. Sometimes you see the old verse, which Allah abrogated, still written in the Quran, but Muslims do not practice it. But they practice only the newer verses, which came to replace these old verses. But there are also the second type of abrogation, which is that the verse is removed from the Quran, and the Muslims do not have to practice its command. As for the third type of abrogation, the verse is removed, but Muslims must practice its command, which is the weirdest type of abrogation. Now, what we're talking about here is the second type. The verses are removed, so if you look at these verses in the Quran, you will never find it. And also, whatever command Allah gave in these verses, Muslims will not have to practice it. It's like the verse was completely dropped and the command of it is also dropped. As we read in the book of Kaw, chapter 2 in the Quran and verse 106, whatever verse we abrogate or cause it to be forgotten, we bring a better verse than it or like it. Do you not know that Allah has might over all things? So obviously from this verse alone, we know for sure that there are verses Allah abrogated, removed from the Quran. Sometime he bring better verses than it, or sometime he bring verses just like it, which is so amazing because Muslims all over the world, especially here in the West, continue to insist that there is no change ever take place in the Quran. The Quran was written on the guarded board, and word for word, what is written on the guarded board is what we have in our hand today, not realizing that we do have many Arabic Qurans, 35, I believe, so far, that's how many we have, and the differences between these Qurans are in the thousands, 29,000 words or even more. But in any way, here is a direct teaching of the word of Allah in the Quran that he abrogated his verses, which mean cancel, erase, delete, replace, and he bring better verses as if Allah's word have good and bad words or similar word like the one which he deleted. And if that is the case, why Allah change his word? If he's going to bring a similar one, why not just give us the same one which he gave in the first place? Anyway, let's continue with our study. We know that it was added to the Quran as much as we know that verses have been changed in the Quran. Some verses were dropped and others were added. Let me share with you. Ibn Abbas, who is the first cousin of Muhammad, stated that the last two chapters of the Quran, that is Quran chapter 113 and Quran chapter 114, are not of the Quran, which is the book of Falaq and the book of Nas. In English, the book of Daybreak and the book of the people. When he saw, that is Ibn Abbas, that the people of his days were adding and reading and accepting these two chapters to be portion of the Quran, he made his famous statement, do not write in the Quran what was not in it, meaning Quran chapter 113 and Quran chapter 114 are not of the Quran, but were simply added to the Quran. Also, we know from the history of Islam that when Al-Hajjaj aided Bani Umayyah with his help, he collected all the Qurans of his days, and he removed from them many things which was written in them concerning Bani Umayyah. And he added to it many things which were not originally in the Quran. And he made 6 new copies of the Quran, which he sent to many different countries around the world. He sent one to Egypt, one to the Levant, one to Mecca, and one to Medina, and one to Basra, and the last one he sent to Al-Kufa. And these are the Quran which we do have today in Egypt and these countries. As for the rest of the other Qurans which he collected, he did not keep any of it, but he actually boiled them in vinegar until it was dissolved. And he did all that because he loved the people of Bani Umayyah. And he would love to remove anything from the Quran which makes him look bad. So he corrected their position in the Muslim world at the time by removing everything bring shame, as it was given by Jibreel to Muhammad, for the hatred which Muhammad had at that time against Bani Umayyah.
600 years after Jesus Christ walked this planet, an obscure Arab preacher began proclaiming a radical and violent new faith. The would-be prophet, Muhammad. The new faith, the religion of Islam. And now, 14 centuries later, over 1.5 billion people claim to follow him and his supposed revelations from God contained within the Quran. But here in the modern West, what do we truly know about this deadly and dangerous religion that has conquered, killed, and enslaved hundreds of millions over the centuries? What do we know of its founder, of its holy book, and of its unalterable mandate to subdue and rule all of mankind? The Lord said through Hosea the prophet that, "My people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." To combat this lack of understanding, the Straight Way of Grace Ministry travels all across the United States to speak to churches and organizations with captivating and media-rich presentations on a wide variety of topics. It's time you, your church, or your organization becomes equipped with the truth about Islam. We are only one phone call or email away from scheduling a single seminar or even an entire series in your area. Please contact us at 941-223-1703 or by email at vicki@thestraightway.org. That's Vicki spelled V-I-C-K-I. You can also visit our website for more information at www.thestraightway.org. And now, back to our show.
We have to understand how Muhammad used to receive the Quran. He used to claim to meet with Angel Jibreel, and he gave him few verses here and there. And quickly, Muhammad would share these verses with his people, who also start memorizing these verses. But this will not prevent some of the verses of the Quran to be not memorized. After all, Muhammad himself, Allah told him in the Quran, in the book of the highest, verse 7, that he, Allah, will cause Muhammad to forget some of the verses himself. Or perhaps some of the people who memorized these verses died, especially as we know in the Battle of Yamama, many of the people who memorized some portion of the Quran were killed. And obviously, when these people died, the verses which they used to remember will be gone forever. In Sahih Muslim, we read that Aisha said, "What is like some of what descended from the Quran, 10 verses concerning the breastfeeding, and it was abrogated by 5 other verses." We are talking about the breastfeeding of the old. You see, this was a big problem in Egypt a few years ago, as the media start to talk about it. That is, for a man to work with a woman who is not related to, and they must be alone by themselves in some office or on some business, that man cannot be alone with that woman unless she breastfeeds him or her sister breastfeeds him or her mother breastfeeds him 10 times. In that case, she will become his mother, or she will become his aunt, or she will become his sister. And in that case, they can be together working in one office without a third person. This is what was written in the Quran. And then Allah changed his mind about the number of the breastfeeding. Not 10 times, but simply 5 times. But surprise, surprise, the Muslims of the world are objecting this doctrine of breastfeeding. And that is what Aisha was talking about. And without any doubt, Aisha heard these verses in her days from the reading of the Quran, or those who read the Quran, or we say recite the Quran out loud. But today, when we look at the Quran, which we have in our hands, we do not see neither the 10 breastfeeding verses nor the 5 breastfeeding verses. Both of these sets of verses no longer exist in the Quran, which means these verses somehow, somewhere, were dropped from the Quran. We also read from the correct hadith of Muslim that Umar ibn al-Khattab said, what is like, surely Allah sent Muhammad with the truth, and he descend on him the book, and the stoning is the judgment of the adultery. And the words of the verse of the stoning was like this: as for the old man and the old woman, if they commit adultery, so stone them until dead. But guess what? When we open the Quran today, we will not find these verses also. But what we see is what is written in chapter 24, verses 2 to 4, which read as follows: the female fornicator and the male fornicator, so scourge each of them with 100 stripes, and do not let compassion keep you from carrying out the religion of Allah, if you were believers in Allah and the last day, and let an assembly of the believers witness their torment. The male fornicator cannot have sex, marry, except with a male fornicator or a female polytheist, and the female fornicator cannot have sex, marry, except with a male fornicator or a male polytheist. And this is forbidden for the believers and those who accuse virtuous women, and they cannot bring 4 witnesses, then scourge them 80 stripes, and do not receive their testimony forever, for those are transgressors. We also learn from Ibn Majah that Aisha said that the verse of the stoning and the verse of the breastfeeding were descended on Muhammad, and they were written on parchment, and they were under Aisha's bed. When the Messenger of Allah Muhammad died, Aisha was occupied. Then some dagin, could be a goat, could be a sheep, ate these parchments. And we also know from Sahih Muslim that Abi Musa al-Ash'ari said to 500 of the people who memorized the Quran in Basra that we used to read a chapter in the Quran equal in size of chapter 9, the book of repentance, in the length and in the harshness, and I forgot it, and there is nothing left from it except these words, Tawakkaltu, I depend. And he read the rest of the verse which he remembered. And he also said that he used to read another chapter and he also forgot it, except his saying, O you who have believed. And he read the rest of the verse. Obviously, we do not have the words of these verses in the book which we are studying from. But in any way, this is enough evidence that there were not only verses in the Quran, but chapters in the Quran which completely dropped, and people could not remember anything from it at all. That is just a few years after Muhammad's death. Also, we know that Abi Zaid, in his copy of the Quran, there were 2 short chapters under the 2 titles, which are the chapter of Al-Khala and the chapter of Al-Khafd. As for Surat Al-Khafd, it is also have the name Surat Al-Qunut. And we know for sure that these were portion of the Quran, as I read to you from the Imam As-Suyuti in his book Al-Durar Al-Mansur. He stated that they used to be portion of the chapters of the Quran. Allah descended on the Prophet Muhammad, and there were 2 chapters, they have in the name of Allah, the merciful in the beginning, and they have separation between them. And it was written in the book of the Quran of Ka'b. May Allah be pleased with him. And here are the words of Surah Al-Khala. Allahumma inna nasta'inaka wa nastaghfiruka wa nusanni 'alayka al-khayra wa la nukaffiruka wa nakhla'u wa natruku man yufajjiruka. In English, O Allah, we seek your help and seek your forgiveness and praise you for the good and do not reject you, and we excommunicate and forsake those who disobey you. As for Surah Al-Hafd, it read like this. اللهم إياك نعبد ولك نصلي ونسجد وإليك نسعى ونحفد نرجو رحمتك ونخشى عذابك الجد إن عذابك بالكفار ملحق. In English, O Allah, you we worship and to you we pray and prostrate and to you we strive and to you we hope for your mercy and we fear your punishment seriously and attached surely your torment will fall on the infidels. But once again, when we open the Quran today, in the Muslim world, we will not find neither one of these two chapters, which means these chapters have been lost from the Quran. And the fact is that Osman ibn Affan, when he wrote his Quran, he removed these chapters from the Quran. When on the other hand, Ibn Mas'ud removed chapter 1 of the Quran and chapter 113 and chapter 114. So from that, we know for sure that there are verses and chapters removed or added to the Quran, depending on what do you believe. Are these portions of the Quran or not? And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul. But now, the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Why don't you call out to the Lord right now? Perhaps saying something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen." Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. This program has come to you by satellite on the VCY America Network. Please support the station which carries this program. Thank you.